Hello and welcome to a series of specials of my podcast Helium Talk. I call them the isolation episodes, and for these I'm speaking with people from the art world about the current situation we're all facing these days. I just want to know how artists and gallerists from different countries are dealing with being locked down. For this first Helium Talk special, I called my friend and fellow artist Rune Christensen in Denmark. Where are you right now, Rune?
Right now, I'm in my small, I'm not sure the English word for it, Kolonihavehus in Danish, like garden house. I think you have them too in Germany, right? Like the little garden houses outside the city.
Yeah, Schrebergarten, but it's nicer in Denmark, I have the feeling.
Like, it could be, I don't know. the one that I have, I actually bought some years ago when I was in a bar in Hamburg, shortly after I had some beers with you. Me and my wife went to a bar in Sternschanze, that brewery you told me about once, and sat there and I looked online. I saw this one was for sale and had a really good year. And I thought that that could be a good idea to own a little getaway place in my hometown now that I lived in Copenhagen. So we took another beer and took the train directly up here and bought it the next day. And now I'm very happy that I have it.
It's in your hometown, right? Where you originally
came from? It's in my hometown, a small town where I grew up,
So you left Copenhagen, where you both, where we live with your family normally. You left that because of the corona, or?
Just because, like, so there's, Denmark is on a lockdown for at least 2 weeks. So all daycare, all public, everything is closed. You can't go anywhere in the pools, libraries. Living in a small apartment in Copenhagen with an almost two-year-old girl that really loves running and biking and being outside, it's not an easy scenario. It's not easy to isolate yourself from other people and putting other people in danger because essentially I don't know if I have corona. I don't know if anybody has who has corona. So to live in the most populated area in Denmark and in Copenhagen, just didn't seem like the right place to be for me and my family. Plus also being here, I can work whenever I want because I have a studio in the house where before I had to bike through the city, be away from my family, and that would put a lot of strain on them because it's just, it's 2 weeks of nothing essentially. And that's easy enough. That's, it's hard always, but it's easier if you're just yourself or an adult that can watch movies and read books. But if you have a two-year-old that's like, that has to have a rhythm and a routine and also wants to go outside, it's not easy. And I don't know where this is going. I saw that Germany just closed down playgrounds.
So Germany closed everything down yesterday, more or less.
Exactly. So if they close down playgrounds in Copenhagen, I would hate to be there. Like it would just be, I don't even, it'll be so terrible for families with kids. So anybody that I know that have a kind of a getaway and doesn't have to go to work are have left.
So makes sense.
It does.
I'm right now in Hamburg as well. I came back on Sunday and we're considering leaving town as well, but it's, well, it's always different, you know. My wife has to work still and so we'll see where this goes. But so what is your situation now? You have a studio in that house, so you're working now and taking care of your kid and the wife and and try to find things to do besides watching television and watching the kid.
I guess the good thing about this versus in a small apartment, because we live in quite a small apartment, is that here I have a bunch of projects, so I can go next door and paint at any time I want, which is so liberating versus like being at home and then having to bike through the city and then go there and then you're there. And then I think that I'll get 1,000% more work done over the next 2 weeks, but I have a feeling it's going to be longer. So, so I think that like, for me, it's, this is going to make me not go insane because I think it would make me go insane, not being able to work or having to go to work and knowing that my family's like sitting and I know that Kim would just be struggling in a small apartment. So I think just in any ways, this is like a free space for us to be at. You can open your door and you can go outside like people that live in houses, which I don't have the luxury of doing. So I think that this makes just my life way easier. And it's, in Denmark, we're like, I know different countries and I don't particularly want to get into politics about how to do things or what to do, But in Denmark, we are being told to not isolate, but to try and stay at home as much as you possibly can and don't be too much in contact with other people. If you want to meet people, then do it outside with a distance and all this. And where we live, there's an apartment building area across from us. There's 12,000 people living in like a tiny space.
Yeah.
Here is like, I'm in a garden union where there's like, I don't know, 100 people in the same amount of space. That's like 12,000 people. So it's much easier for me to try and participate in the let's stay at home and try and get through this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty weird situation that you're in now when you're in a city. I'm going driving with a bike to work, which is safe, but I'm supposed to avoid social contact with other people. Today we were asked to go to school and pick up work materials for the kids, so that they're that they can continue doing some schoolwork. And that was kind of like only parents were allowed to come that did not travel to any risk area or who have no signs of corona or anything or any sickness really. So it's kind of a spooky situation, and you walk in there and there's the door, and I open the door for somebody, for a mother of another child, the class of my youngest, and she wears gloves, which is smart, you know, because you're grabbing all of everything. And I said, oh, you did the smart thing with the gloves. And she's like, yeah, I'm well prepared. But you stay on distance and you talk about it, and everybody doesn't really know what to expect. But the mood is not, there's no panic. There's no, you know, things like that. And I wanted to, you know, so I want to make, I mean, with the podcast, that's what we talked yesterday when I asked you whether you'd be interested in talking with me. I think the situation now requires different things from different people depending on where they work and how the circumstances are. And in the arts now, we have everything here is basically canceled. So we have a show on April 3 that's canceled. Everything is closing down and officially now. And so what does that mean? You can cough. It's fine. We're pretty safe now.
There's a good distance between us.
It's just a screen. So for me, it's interesting to hear your thoughts on this. Of course, it's a good time now to create work, you know. But also the question is, will your work be influenced by what's happening right now? And are there any shows that you're in that are being canceled? What's the direct impact on you as a professional?
I don't know yet. Because I think I'm in the exact same shoes as no one really knows what's going on. And you could be very dark-minded and easily panic as an artist. I think as a gallerist, as anybody who lives off a merchandise or whatever that's not needed in society in the way that food is or toilet paper or all those things. So clearly for us, it's very easy to be like, oh my God, it's a crash all over again. Will anybody ever buy art? That's the first thought. I think a lot of people are like, Jesus. You could also kind of sort of be more optimistic. And I think that's what I choose. I look at this as a period of time where I can reflect and I can concentrate and I can be more in my paintings than maybe I've been before, because I'm in my studio. My studio is next to where I sleep now versus like 15-minute bike ride across the city. I guess I just opened a show in Hamburg that just opened, and then no one's going to see it after the opening. So in that way, I'm impacted. I'm lucky that most of the things that I have are after July. There's a show opening here in the they're supposed to open the 28th of March in Denmark at Valsen. And it's going to open still, but it's going to open in a different way. I know Rasmus and Kent are working towards doing like kind of a live feed to their clients and trying to do something new. So I guess in some way, you know, like you and I talked a lot about like how art needs galleries needs to reinvent themselves and whatnot. And maybe this is the opportunity of like people thinking outside the box of what they normally do.
It's difficult, I think, that
because I talked to a curator and gallerist from San Francisco the other day from Hashimoto Contemporary, because I have some work there. And we have a show coming in July, so hopefully I'll be something. And she, of course, she's like, no one knows, but a lot of art is being sold online nowadays. So hopefully people will still buy art, but then who knows? We don't know. Like, I want to stay positive and think that, like, that this is a short term, that in 2 months everything is back to normal. Mm-hmm. But that could also be maybe too blue-eyed, or as we call it in Denmark, too, what's it called, naive in some way.
Well, it's not naive because you just don't know what's happening. You know?
No. So I, for myself, I'm going to stay positive. I have friends that are very affected by it already. I have friends that are in the mural business, so they travel around and do festivals and murals and spend, you know, like a long time setting up their year, and the year is starting essentially now. I have a friend who was going to do murals in the States, in Canada, in Germany, in Austria, in France, and in Italy. Clearly, all those projects are gone. So that's a huge income. And basically, the whole year is gone for this artist. So she's probably thinking, what the hell am I doing now?
Yeah, even though I had this discussion with the Lowbros in my last podcast, there's not many festivals that are being paid except for travel and accommodation. So
but it's depending on where you are. And some of the festivals are not, but then some of the things are. I know this person, that's her whole income, and she's doing very well. So, for example, you would travel and do a festival in the States, but then you had set up a private mural. Yeah, so that would be like a 20,000 euro or 30,000 euro job. The festival was a 1,000 euro job. And then, so that's, I know that's how many people do it, you know? So there's that. And yeah, it's difficult to know, you know, like, what is this going to be? And am I, my work going to be influenced by it? I painted a painting the other day where it's called Things That Can Kill You. And there's a handshake and a design chair from Denmark called the Corona chair. So somehow maybe that there's some kind of influence from this.
Yeah, I agree that this probably, you know, so it has to lead to people thinking outside of the box a little bit. But of course, now everybody's also trying, because I mean, that's the most obvious idea, to move everything online as quickly as possible. For us, for example, here at Helium Cowboy, Melvin and I, we wanted to, you know, slowly set up the whole online thing. We just managed to get the portfolios online, but that's supposed to be a better marketplace that we're working on. And it would be great if it already be ready now and not as we planned, like in April. Yeah. So things have to move forward. And I also think that the idea of making, it's also what we thought on the 3rd of April. We just, you know, sort of, we just have a live stream and we show people around. We make, you know, sort of like a tour of the show every 30 minutes, and then people can come and follow. And I think tonight there's a gallery opening in Hamburg that's already doing this, of course, you know, just... and that's definitely a nice thing, especially if people might have time at home, you know, so to watch these things. If that will lead to any sales, we'll know afterwards. But as an artist, you can't really influence that much. So for me, for example, when you say you have a show in March and it's in Denmark, you can still send the work. I mean, if I have a show in Denmark that I'm part of at the same gallery at Wolfson in the end of April, I'm not even sure if, you know, sort of Rasmus will get the work because he wants to come pick it up and stuff like that. So it's probably not even going to happen. I don't know if the artworks that for our show on the 3rd of April, if they're actually even coming physically, or if we move everything online immediately, but then everybody will do that too, you know. So
but everybody had openings before, everybody did, like, everybody's doing the same all the time, so it, for sure, like, yeah, it's going to change things, but then again, it's like, how drastically is it going to change? It's difficult to know. I think we're going to bounce back quick, though. I hope we're going to bounce back quick. That's my hopes.
Yeah, me too. So when you say you have a show in Hashimoto in San Francisco
in July,
that could actually work. Is it a group or a solo, or
it's a group show? Yeah, it's a group show. Hopefully that, like, the thing is, we don't know anything. It could be the dark mind could say this could be the end of many galleries and many artists. There'll be no income. There'll be, you know, like, we have no idea, but I don't think so. My hopes are bright.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would definitely have an impact on the market itself.
Of course,
it will. For sure. I mean, don't just look at the smaller galleries. Just look at the big picture. All the big fairs, everything's canceled. That's like millions we're talking about.
Yeah.
But on our level, of course, you know, sort of large gallery can also cope with this much better for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know a lot of small galleries, if they don't make a show every month, they don't make any money at all.
No.
And the rent and everything is going to continue. It's, you know, sort of continuing. And I think, for example, the exhibition you're talking about here in Hamburg with the Affenfalls Gallery, which I think was one of the first that at least I read on Instagram that decided on their own, you know, to close the gallery and not have access to their space. Mm-hmm. They have a huge space. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big exhibition that Elma and Markus, the curators, put up. I mean, that exhibition alone is expensive to pull off, you know. and you know, so I think personal appointments will still be something that might work. But I feel it's kind of just not necessarily just only feel bad for the gallery, but also feels bad for every artist that's involved. You know?
It's shitty, like being. If you take that exhibition as an example, but all exhibitions, people that have canceled solo shows and solo booth at fairs and all this stuff, and essentially, like, yeah, the money is that's crappy and shitty and all this stuff, but that's money. It's more sad for the people that's put a lot of emotions and work and all this stuff. Like that show in Affenfaust, like, I'm very proud of being part of that. It looks amazing. I sadly couldn't see it myself. Because that was kind of when they were talking about traveling and whatnot, and I was kind of getting sick, and I was like, "What? Like, how sick am I? What the hell's going on?" Luckily, I don't think that was what I was sick with. But it's sad for all the people that are involved in this, you know, like, and it's sad for the people that would like to see these things, you know, like that have been expecting. Like, there's a big show coming up in May in Copenhagen with Fabian Treiber. I think it's pronounced, the German painter. That I absolutely love. I was looking so much forward to seeing his solo show there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It might be, but probably not. Who knows? Like, but it's going to happen everywhere in the world. Like, people can't participate in concerts and can't participate in theater. You know, like, it's sad. It's sad for art culture in general. And then money is the second thing, of course.
Yeah, I mean, as long as this is overseeable time, then, you know, sort of it kind of will still level itself out in the art. I think the big advantage of the professions that you and I have is that we are actually also used to work in solitude.
We used to work in solitude. We're used to not having a paycheck every month. So I think for people that are used to getting that paycheck, that's like the same amount every month, it's a bigger panic. But for us that are used to going some months without making any money, and then a big chunk comes in, and then a small chunk comes in, and then 3 months no pay, and then, ooh, big chunk, ooh, another project. Yeah. Somehow it just feels like, oh, like, it's just summer. Like, not many artists make in Europe anyways. I don't know how it is anywhere in Denmark. There's not a lot of money to be made between June and August. Because no one goes to the galleries. Everyone's out traveling. So it's just feels like this dead period. And what you can hope for is just that, like, if this is a month or 2 months, that the shows that's going to come after this, people have made some amazing work, you know, like, it's going to bounce back. And now, you know, like, you and I, and I know your podcast in general, have had Instagram as a big conversationer, like, what does Instagram do and how does it change things? Mm-hmm. We are very lucky that Instagram exists now. We are very lucky that social media exists now, because now you're actually able to show your work. It's sad that you couldn't show it live to people, but now they can actually see it, you know, like, saw that Talat, the Danish painter, just had a solo show supposed to open, and it, clearly no one could come, but they're showing it online for people that were expecting to see it. I don't think he's going to have a problem financially, or selling the work's not going to be difficult online.
No.
But at least you and I that are fans, or people who are fans of it, can see it in different ways. And in that way, we're very lucky to have these platforms that can still entertain us with the culture that we thrive to have in our lives.
I agree.
But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one to see how it's gonna be on the other side and how long that's gonna be.
Yeah, you have a lot of friends who are artists. Are you discussing and exchanging with them, or?
Yeah, Yeah. Everyone's kind of like, people are riding back and forth. And I think right now, I think most people that I know are very positive. Mm-hmm. They're more just like, oh, let's be safe and lock ourselves in and paint some paintings. Mm-hmm. And then who knows, like in Denmark, it says a 2-week lockdown or whatever you want to call it. This, it's not like a full lockdown like Italy or stuff like that. But I think it's good. Let's see if it's, you know, like if it's going to be 6 weeks, how people are going to take it. You know, like now it's like we're on day 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here.
Whatever, you know, like 5 days of being in your studio by yourself. Like that's just a regular week. But then if things start canceling into September, who knows how people are going to start reacting. The thing is, none of us have ever tried anything like this, so it's impossible to predict or talk about. Essentially, you could just be like, this kind of sucks. Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'm going to do, make this, take this discussion also to other people from the arts world now and talk to people who actually do gallery work and stuff. You know, I mean, I have here the situation that I'm working with a family member, with Melvin, together at the gallery. And especially now in these times when I'm writing the book, he's like responsible for the exhibitions and the gallery work. And one of the first questions that he had was, of course, because he's freelancing, you know, I said, okay, so Dad, I will not make any money, right? So when right now I'm looking into ways of, you know, sort of, there are still things that you can do, you know, and where Melvin can be involved, it will probably less for him, but he will continue to work and being paid, you know, sort of. And I think that's a struggle that a lot of galleries have. They work with a lot of freelance staff. They work with, you know, sort of people on an hourly basis. And all of these people are gone now, you know, so you can't just keep them up, things like that. And we'll see this, of course, as you said. I mean, if this is just a 2-week period, which I doubt it will be, but if it's just, you know, for a certain amount of time, then this might, you know, so it might also actually be healthy. I'm looking forward, it's probably the wrong expression, but I'm actually really curious to see how socially things will change now. I think that discussions now are not being, you know, sort of done that harsh as they were before. You know, in the gallery system, for many years works after the principle, and that's nothing necessary that touches Helium Cowboy or Hashimoto or this or Affenfaust in that regards, because we're in somewhere in the middle. But the market is dominated by the fact that it's grow or die.
Yeah.
So all the big galleries are growing and growing and growing, and they're trying to acquire and recruit more and more artists and big artist names. I had this discussion with Jonathan Levine recently that Hauser and Wirth in New York, they just signed their 95th artist to their roster. Of course, they have 3-4 different locations, but it's still not possible to show them all the time.
No.
But it's just like, you know, it's like grow or die. And I think this mentality right now is fucked. You know, it doesn't work that way. Now you have to find different ways. And so maybe we get back to a little bit more, at least in certain respect, not Hauser and Wirth, of course, or Gagosian, whatever. They'll do whatever they want anyway. But you know, maybe there's a different social approach, you know, like for me, for example, when I'm going out, I'm thinking now about the artist in the exhibition that I'm having on April 3 and how I can actually support them. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just like when you do usually do a group show, the aim is always to sell at least one piece of every artist. That's ideal, you know, because group shows can be very hard and very unjust if you put the same amount of work in as everyone, but, you know, sort of three people get paid in the end. And so maybe, you know, sort of there are things that you could consider, you know, just, I don't know, setting up exhibition funds with collectors and saying, okay, this is a group show we're having with 10 people. We'll show the work online. The work will be here, but buy into the exhibition and not just necessarily into one artist. So in the end, you can spread some money to everyone, you know? But I don't want to get too much into this. I have questions about other things right now that you're working on, because you just started a new series of work.
Yeah.
That is different, but I mean, not too different to the work before, but it is kind of different. How did you get to, it's very iconic. And yeah, so what was the progress there? I mean, it just popped up and it's just kind of, I think everyone who's seen it right now, I mean, at least that's my impression from, let's get back to Instagram and stuff like that, from the reactions on there.
Yeah.
Everyone says, wow, that's a huge step. I mean,
yeah, I'm getting a lot of really good response, which is nice. Both from fellow artists, from clients that are contacting me, and from the people that I've been working with so far, gallery wise. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice. Like how that came up, I guess I long been thinking about separating it all and mm-hmm. making it more graphic, like a mind map or like cave painting or tattoo flesh, I guess that I've it kind of sort of resembles that. And I've seen these like war rocks that my friend showed me, because we were talking about different things. We live in the Middle Eastern part of the Copenhagen, like where there's a lot of like mm-hmm. people from Middle East, and we've seen some rock stores and whatnot. And then he showed me these Afghan war rocks, mm-hmm. and I thought that they were super interesting and very cool. So that was kind of sort of part of the inspiration. I think it's just separating it all. And if you follow what I've been doing for a long time, when we met each other, it was women with very graphical drawn tattoos, essentially, mm-hmm. right? Then it mm-hmm. moved into still living like vases and horses and whatnot. And now it's essentially just all that stuff from the vases, like the fights that have been separated. The vase is still there, mm-hmm. but the fight is next to the vase. The knife that they were holding in that fight is bigger. So and somehow it's like inspired by these things, and it's just, yeah, it's difficult to know why you do something new, but it's something that I've been thinking about for a long time, mm-hmm. and yeah, I enjoy seeing information in that way, mm-hmm. like how you see it in a tattoo flash or how you see it in public health or something like this, like wash your hands, don't shake them, sneeze, you know, like. It's the exact same kind of sort of setup like yeah. a poster would have. So yeah, it's information about a narrative that I'm working on. And the first couple of paintings are, it's called chair dance, stole dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first couple of paintings are inspired by this game that you play with your kids or with your whatever. That you at the end there's only one chair and everyone else.
I think it's off. Like the musical chair, you know, like you have play music and you stop the yes, music yeah, and then
everybody run around the chairs and then every yeah. time another chair gets removed and in the end that's just yeah. one chair and there's just one winner.
Yeah.
And then there's all these things around it, like the fights and the violence and mm-hmm. the so mm-hmm. and the chairs that I've chosen to put in here are designer chairs. So for me the narrative are essentially the harder way of society is that there is essentially just one chair and that's how mm-hmm. a lot of people are interacting. And you could kind of see it towards like these are done before this, essentially, just shortly up to it, essentially. But if we talked about like how you say like, oh, how people be more social. I think in these times of crisis, which is essentially like a world crisis we're in right now,
yes.
you will see like how people are. Like you'll see the people that go to the store and buy all the yeast. And all the this what is it called like for your hands like the this
soap sanitation
alcohol gel sanitation yeah. and all the toilet paper that's the yeah. one group of people that's just like mm-hmm. fuck everyone else I'm going to take my part
mm-hmm.
and that's the people have created the chair dance essentially of society yeah. that I'm kind of having the narrative is and then there's all the other people that's like oh how can I help the next person or mm-hmm. oh call the old lady like can I help you shop like oh I have some extra toilet paper do you have some yeast could we trade so I think this is really showing humankind and humankind's mm-hmm. have always been separated into these not boxes because boxes is such a negative word but there are just different people there are people that are selfish and just like
sure.
no I'm gonna take mine and then there's people that are like oh let's all share and try and get through this
do you have a term Sorry, do you have a term in Denmark that, like in Germany, we call it Hamstern when people go and yeah, buy?
Sex, same. Sex, Hamstern. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hamstern,
like,
yeah.
Like how a little hamster yeah, would yeah. like gather a yeah, kid in yeah, his yeah. mouth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it is just like, I guess I was pretty slow on this. I was kind of like, I don't really know what's going on. And I was like, oh, let's make risotto. Went down mm-hmm. to the store and it's like, all rice was gone. It's like, okay, let's mm-hmm. make some pasta. All pasta was gone. Like, oh, bake some bread. All yeast was gone. I was like, what? This is yeah. crazy. Then I went into the drugstore. I was like, hey, I wanted to get some hand disinfection because I heard that you're supposed to get that. It's like, we've been sold out for 2 weeks. I was like, yeah. for 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, it's so I even seen that some people have like gone into hospitals and taken disinfection from the toilets in the hospitals, where you're just like,
yeah,
oh my God, like how far can you take this as a human being? How selfish can people be? And so, like, tracing back to that, what you said earlier before we got cut off, is I think you'll see society change, and there's mm-hmm. most likely, and most of us will be, I think, getting together without getting together because we can't. Mm-hmm. But I think hopefully we will learn something from this at the end. But there will always be the element of like, I'll take mine, more for me, you know. Yeah, I mean, and then in 2 weeks, somebody's gonna have like 20 fucking kilos of yeast in their refrigerator and be like, I've never baked anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, here in Germany, I just had the discussion. It's like people go and buy all the pastas. So that's like everybody's eating pasta in Germany now. I mean, everybody's eating Italian food now. And yeah, nobody buys the potatoes. The potatoes are stacked. There are tons of potatoes you can buy. And potatoes are very German. So I was thinking people probably buy potatoes, but nobody probably knows that you can keep them for weeks, for months, for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I think that's just the existential angst of people that, you know, sort of now that everything closes, we might, you know, sort of we might starve. But that will not be the case. But it's something you also have to give people in a way. The only thing that I hate about it is that it's super unsocial to just go there and buy so much and take everything for yourself. Yeah. And that is something that people will always do. But I also have what you just said. I think in a way, I have the feeling that the artistic community the art community is getting a little bit closer together. Because we are also in a not necessarily always very social business. I mean, of course, as an artist, you have artist friends, but mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of mistrust and a lot of how do you call it? You know, so like that you know, talking about the backs of others and mm-hmm. I see in the show, and not I'm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think there might be a little bit more solidarity on that part as well. You know.
It could. I hope so too. I hope we come out on the other end with a lesson of like humanity somehow,
mm-hmm. and
more approach to each other in a more friendly and more, I guess, socialistic way of like sharing and not just wanting everything for yourself. That's the dream scenario. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is funny because, like you said, with the works, it is funny how they essentially the narrative week before was essentially what I seen in the Aldi and the supermarket and whatever, you know, like going in there, it's just like, fend for yourself, this is my chair, and I'll stab you for it, kind of, sort of, you know?
Well, you can definitely make a Corona series out of those.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, it is difficult. I think, you know, like I think sometimes like inspiration can be a very shallow word when it comes to art, but I don't, in lack of other words in my vocabulary in English, I will use inspiration, and anything that you encounter in your life on your way to the studio or the food you're eating or the music you're listening to will inspire you to do something. So I think it's inevitable that artists will not be affected by this somehow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that people are gonna make long painting series about isolation and whatnot, but it's impossible that we won't somehow get affected by it. Mm. I think and you will, but hopefully people are going to be in their studios creating amazing work and come back with great exhibitions and it'll be interesting to follow online because people have more time now. And hopefully what we can hope for as artists and as galleries and art dealers and whatever is that the people that normally buy art that don't almost have the time to go to exhibitions will be sitting at home in their houses and looking at the wall being like, oh man, I really would like to have a whatever art piece there, or oh, I should really get a piece for this here. And like, people have time in their houses, so maybe it'll be good for us. That's again the positive way.
But so then to close this, basically my last question, your recommendation to other artists would be like, you know, sort of create and show, especially, you know, now it's the time where people have time to look at it, you know, and just fly over it. Or
I think that almost business as usual.
Mm.
Like every artist go to their studio every day, paint, show things on Instagram, talk to each other. I think maybe even talk more to each other, be there more for each other, this is essentially what it's about, is getting together. It's like supporting each other. That's what we're doing. It's like no one thinks it's fun to sit at home. And yeah. I'm so fortunate that I can paint and draw at home. I couldn't imagine being stuck in an apartment in Rome like they are right now, having no hobbies except for Instagram. Oh, sorry, Netflix. Mm-hmm. That would be just, I don't even know what I would do with myself. So I think that, like, yeah, like for all artists, or for everyone, essentially, it's just get together, make some art and talk to each other, write me, write everyone else. Let's unify. It's time to unify.
Yeah. It's good closing words, my friend.
Yeah.
Rune, yeah, thanks for doing this with me today. We had some hiccups before. Well, I had some, you know, like destroying my computer just before
there we go.
Record. Yeah, great. But all good now. And I'll follow you on Instagram. Everybody else do that too. It's at Rune_Christensen, or what?
Yes.
Yeah, and of course you find it in the... in the comments to this podcast and everywhere. And I'll see you around. I mean, we're actually not very far away from each other, but when I'm in my house up north, that's 35 kilometers from the Danish border.
It's 200 kilometers or something like that.
Yeah, but we're divided by an impenetrable border control.
Yes.
On both
yes.
sides. Yeah,
with military on both sides.
Yeah,
let's hope that ends soon.
I hope that too. All right, my friend.
Yeah, it's good talking to you. Thank you. Have a good day. Say hi to the family.
All right, and you.
Bye, my friend. Bye.
Well, thank you for listening today. I will be back with more talks shortly. If you have any questions for me or my guests, I'm happy to hear them all. Just send me a mail to hello@heliumtalk.com or a direct message on my Instagram @heliumcowboy. Stay safe and healthy, and take good care of everyone around you. Helium Talk.